This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, it's been 5 days now since Governor Snyder presented Kevin Orr as the emergency financial manager of Detroit. Many were quick to comment or write or blog about Orr's introduction to Michigan, that he seemed well-suited for the job, a U of M law school grad and therefore familiar with the Southeast Michigan, an attorney, bankruptcy specialist who guided Chrysler through its bankruptcy. At his introductory press conference last Thursday with Governor Snyder and Detroit Mayor Dave Bing, Kevin Orr certainly seemed ready and willing to take on the gargantuan task of fixing Detroit's dire financial crisis. But there are certainly questions surrounding Orr's appointment. Can he really fix Detroit? Is Detroit fixable? And just what should we expect now that Michigan's largest city is under state control? Well, here to answer those questions is Kevin Orr. Kevin, welcome to Stateside.
Cindy, thank you so much.
Well, Kevin, we have to just get this out on the table. Let's get it over with. Start with that news that came after your appointment, that within a day of that press conference, it was reported that you had yourself some financial issues in terms of liens on your home over unpaid child care taxes. I know you've said you've paid that up now. Do you think it's fair that some people are saying, how can someone who didn't know about tax liens and unpaid taxes, his personal finances, be able to run Detroit's finances?
Yeah, Cindy, people are entitled to their own opinion, but they're not entitled to their own facts. I think Moynihan said that. And the reality is it's quite embarrassing when that came up, but I took care of it as soon as I could. I paid it off. Frankly, I've probably been a little bit too focused on my professional obligations and not focused enough on my private obligations. Certainly, to the chagrin of my wife, no one is more concerned and frankly embarrassed about that than I am. I mean, that is a stain on what has otherwise been what I'd like to think of as a somewhat successful and honorable career. You know, I would say to those people, though, four things, actually. You know, it's been a Nietzschean experience. If it doesn't kill me, it's going to make me stronger. I mean, I started out one day walking on water. The next day, I couldn't swim. The other thing is I apologize specifically to my family, my friends, my colleagues, my neighbors. The outpouring of support for me after that news has been very gratifying. But I'm apologizing to the extent embarrass them, and specifically even to the governor. Third, I would say, you know, I'm more resolved than ever moving forward. I want to work hard to get this project done and to do a good job. And frankly, you know, fourth, as I said before, there's no looking back. I've now not only burned my boat, but I've thrown away my chart. I'm heading over the hill to see if I can get this done.
And let's move on to the task at hand, Kevin Orr, as you take over the city of Detroit's finances. Give us a sense, what is the very first thing you feel that you need to do?
Well, you know, it's what I said last week. I mean, I need to sit down with the analyst, and the city has some excellent consultants that they've hired, some University of Michigan folks, as a matter of fact, Miller Buckfire, Conway McKenzie, and others who've been studying this project longer than I've been on the ground. In fact, I don't start until the 25th, and I need to sit down and go over some projections and analysis that I've seen in the briefing books to get an idea of what we need to do in the three different categories. I mean, the foremost is providing city service and enhancing that, city services to the residents and the citizens. We also have to look at employee and retiree benefits, health care, compensation, and then we got to look at our debt service and try to get an idea of one, where we are, what's obligation. As it stands now, the city is in compliance with its debt obligations, all of them, except for some swaps, I believe. And two, given the projections of where we are and what we can do, where do we need to end up with regard to those three buckets of issues?
So it's a kind of a three-pronged attack here.
Absolutely.
Kevin, how long do you think it will take? And I appreciate you haven't begun yet, but how long do you think it will take for Detroiters to start seeing positive changes? And what do you expect those changes to look like?
Well, you know, I hope Detroiters, I said before, and I think one of the things we really need to say to Detroiters is, you know, I was in the bank yesterday, and a bank teller greeted me and said, I'm happy to see you. We've been waiting for you to get here. And I asked him, you know, just sort of man on the street. I said, well, what do you think we need to do? He said, services and security. He said, you know, people want to feel that they're in a secure environment. Now, in the central business district of Detroit, it's actually quite thriving. It's very nice. You know, I invite everybody to come down. But in the neighborhoods, we need to reach out, and so the residents feel an immediate sense that we're focused on their concerns and try to provide the residents who are our customers in this sense with increased services. You know, and we also need to sit down as quickly as we can with the stakeholders so we can get this process going. If we're able to reach a consensual resolution and work this out, you know, this can be done fairly quickly. I mean, as short as 3-9 months. If we're not, we need to find that out fairly quickly, too, so we can decide what we need to do with regard to our legal options.
Kevin, as you've been making the rounds and talking with Detroiters and hearing their concerns. What do you think their biggest apprehension is about you and the job you're going to be doing?
Well, I think their biggest apprehension is, from what I've been told, is that in other circumstances, you know, and some sort of bean counter is just going to come in and look at it from sort of a stark and sterile balance sheet approach and start slashing services and selling off the crown jewels and doing all that kind of stuff without really concern of enhancing the quality of life for the citizens. And I'm going to try to lay those concerns. I mean, the citizens, first of all, we've got a great partner here with the mayor who's taken a very courageous step of saying, I'm going to walk side by side with this process. I've invited the city council people to do so as well. So I hope that as a practical matter, while we're trying to look at a restructuring of the balance sheet, that the people see status quo getting better.
Let me ask you, how important, Kevin, will relationship building be with the city leaders? And what will you be doing to really keep the process transparent as you go about the reorganization, really, and especially with the residents as well?
Well, three questions. One, what will the relationship be? One, I hope that it is a fulsome one and engaging. I've offered an olive branch to the city council to come in and work with me. We still have democracy. They're still in their jobs. I have no plans to exercise any powers under the law to address those concerns. Two, in terms of transparency, I mean, we will try to get as much communication as we can. I meant what I said. I'm going to open up a website, but, you know, recognizing the technology divide to an extent in communities, I also want to reach out to the people, whether it's town halls, community meetings, faith-based groups, whatever it takes to try to reach as many people as I can. And then with regard to, you know, just making sure that people have real time, I'm very committed that even if people don't agree with me, that they understand the rationale and the basis for decisions that are made, so that at least they can say, you know, I don't agree, but I understand.
What's the best piece of advice you've gotten going into this, and who did you get it from?
Geez, I've gotten so much good advice, it's hard to say to one. You know, be perfectly honest with you, I think there are three. One was my wife, who said, you know, plow ahead. Don't let distractions and others keep you going. Honey, we're in this together. And I want to thank her for having that sort of attitude. She's pure gold to me. She's my gem, my treasure. Secondly, the governor, who's been highly supportive, says, Kevin, just do the right thing. He says, whatever that is, don't listen to the chattering voices and be disconcerted. And to the mayor, who said, you know, really, he said, Kevin, this is going to be difficult, but I want you to know, you know, I'm there with you and I got your back. So I'm feeling very good, got a lot of support. I'm highly enthusiastic. You know, as the Spartans used to say, I'm either going to come back victorious or on my shield.
With it or on it.
There you go.
And really, Kevin, what was that trigger that when that invitation first came? You have walked away from that career at Jones Day that is a dream career, we've got to admit. What impelled you to walk away from that and accept this challenge?
You know, to be honest with you, I've had a very fortunate career. I've worked on some great matters, and I've had some measure of success that many of my colleagues at Michigan have had as well. But really, it was a combination here again of my wife saying, you know, you're going around here griping and grousing every Sunday morning after the talk shows about people need to do something, step up or shut up. My managing partner at Jones Day, Steve Brogan, who was highly supportive of me and said, Kevin, he actually had me going down to Miami to open up an office and said, Kevin, sometimes you're called to action, and this is one of those times. And then the governor, who really just sat me down and said, you know, this is going to be a major undertaking, and we need somebody both with the skill set but with sort of the compass that's going to keep us heading true north. And he said, I think you're that guy. So, you know, frankly, looking at it in reflection, you know, there are people overseas that are putting a real sacrifice in on behalf of this country. Whether you agree with their mission or not, you know, they're putting boots on the ground and they're putting their lives at risk. I'm still going to be in an air-conditioned office. So in that sense, it was sort of hard for me to sit back and live my relatively petite bourgeoisie life and say, no, I'm not going to answer the call.
And finally, Kevin, what is the one word or maybe two words that you think of when you think of the city of Detroit?
Well, you know, the motto of City of Detroit, it ends with rising from the ashes. What I think of the city of Detroit is unlimited potential. And I say that because you look at other cities, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, you had New York, you had Philadelphia. Most recently, in the past 10 years or so, you had Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And all of those great cities are not only thriving, they're beautiful. They have an active downtown. They're growing on their neighborhoods and their suburbs. And, you know, the trip of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. All of those cities were in positions where we are now. And given the resources that Detroit has between its people, the commitment, the physical resources, the riverfront, and the resources of the foundation community, the private sector partners, The elected officials, there's no reason that Detroit can't have and reach out for its unlimited potential.
A lot of ground to cover as you begin your task and move through it, and we certainly look forward to talking with you often on Stateside.
Thank you so much, Cindy.